The reading today is from Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Well, thanks, Kerry, for reading, and thanks for the dog barking in the background as well. And I guess that's just occupational hazard of recording at home sometimes. As you can see on the screen, we've got our verse for this year, and that's what I want to introduce today. Yeah, I really felt that I wanted to have a verse that would drive us into 2021 and follow us in 2021 as well. And this verse from Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, was the verse that I felt that God was laying on my heart, and it wouldn't go away. So I really felt this was what I wanted to share with you today. But it's also going to echo through our year, not only in our teaching series, but also in how we equip you and resource you and reach out to our community with the good news of Jesus. What does it look like to live a life that is worthy of the Lord? And I want that to be a challenge to you, not only today, but in all the days that come this year. And I pray that you'll take this verse and embed it in your life and in your heart, and you'll see what is God going to say to you? What is God going to say to us through this verse? Colossians 1:10, live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. You know, this has been a ridiculous last 12 months, hasn't it? None of us a year ago would have believed what would have happened. And there's been some really tough challenges over these last 12 months. For you personally, for us as a church, as we've navigated our way through it, for our world as well, not only with COVID, but many other things have happened in these last 12 months. But here we are. We stand at the beginning of a brand new year, and it is just another day, of course. But also, it's full of opportunities and challenges that none of us really know what is going to happen, but we can trust that God is going to walk through it with us. So I want this verse. You can pin it up, you can decorate it, you can draw it, you can do whatever you like with it. But don't just leave it as a verse that is highlighted. Let's take it into our hearts this year and let's see what God is going to do through us all at this time. What does it look like to live a life worthy of the Lord? What does it look like? And I just want to unpack that a little bit today. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at it in a bit more detail. I don't know if you've ever come across those Where's Wally books, have you? They were all the rage a while ago. I'm sure they're still around. But one of the challenges of Where's Wally is that you've got to find Wally in the crowd. And it's a crowded scene and all full of different colours. But hidden in there is this character called Wally with his red and, is it black or white striped jumper on, and all his other things. Difficult to find. Now, as a follower of Jesus, our aim is not to stick out like a sore thumb or to be so enculturated that no one knows that we're there, that we're different from anybody else. I don't think it's also about being so weird that everybody avoids you more than the 2 meter social distancing that we should be avoiding people at this particular time. But a follower, a disciple, an apprentice, a learner is going to get some things wrong because none of us are perfect, and I hope that that's a relief to you as it is to me today. But our aim is to live a life that is worthy of the Lord. You know, this word worthy is full of meaning. When you look at the Greek word for worthy is axios. It means to be in a fitting manner, to live a suitable life, to live a life that matches the actual value of who we are in Jesus. Newsworthy for all the right reasons, representing Jesus, to live a life worthy of the Lord. It's the same word that's used in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, when the cry is to Jesus, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." Now, if you take that word worthy in Revelation and you put it into Colossians and what we're called to, I mean, it is a very high bar, but it's not unattainable for us to live a life that is worthy of the Lord, that pleases him in every way. It's a shout of acclamation. It declares you are worthy for this purpose because Jesus declares that you're worthy for it. The word axios, we get the English word axis from, an imaginary line that everything revolves around, keeping attached to, moving around a central point. And for followers of Jesus, for those who are exploring what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, our lives are set to revolve around who Jesus is. If we're going to live a life that is worthy and pleases him in every way, then we need to just revolve around him and his call upon our lives at this time. Because it's true, and you know that this is true, we build our lives around what we give our attention to. Whatever we give our attention to impacts us, shapes us, molds us, drives us, our decisions and our choices. We build our lives around what we give our attention to. What is the central point that you're building your life around at the moment? Could it be Jesus? Because that's the only way we're going to live a life worthy of him. It's always intrigued me, this football supporter thing. And I've been watching football for a long time. I've been a supporter of the same club for 50 years now this year. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? I know I don't look old enough for that to happen. But it's intrigued me over the last few years of how football shirts have become the norm now. You know, when I first started supporting my team, and I will tell you it's AFC Bournemouth, who performed very well on a snowy night in Stoke last night, by the way, just to prove that it's live. But, you know, now everybody wears the shirt, don't they? A sign of, I belong to this. But you know what? In my humble opinion, most people who wear the shirt would never be able to play for the team. You know, they put the full kit on, they pretend they're part of it, but they would never get in the first team. You know, sometimes as followers of Jesus, we can look the part, we can say the right things, but you know what? Living a life that's worthy, that pleases the Lord, is something that takes something a little bit extra, something that is a choice and a decision for us to make. And that's what Paul is urging the people in Colossae, and 2,000 years later, people like you and me, here in Newcastle or wherever you're watching this from, he's calling us to live, to walk, to set our lives around Jesus, to live in a manner worthy, suitable, fitting of the calling, and to conduct our lives in that way. You know, in one of the other translations of the Bible, the English Standard Version, the ESV, it doesn't use the word to live our life. It says to walk in a way that pleases the Lord. Peripateo, in a full circuit, in a full circle, to stay in that way, to live in that way, to not stray from that way. Yeah, a few years ago, I had the privilege of having a sabbatical, and one of the things I did was to walk the Pilgrim's Way. Now, that's 140 miles from Winchester Cathedral to Canterbury Cathedral, a very ancient pathway, and I followed that particular route. Now, I had a great guidebook, I have to say, that gave me some great instructions, but there was one point along the route when I followed the guidebook but got lost. And I ended up in the middle of a field. It was the only time I got lost, but I followed the guide, but ended up in the middle of the field. I knew it wasn't right. And I just stood there and screamed. In fact, I almost wept because I didn't know what to do next. But then I suddenly realized, you know what? The best thing is to retrace your steps back to where you were on the right path and then look at the map and work out your way forward from there. And that's exactly what I did. I found my way back to where I should have been and managed by looking at the map to find my way to the next point of reference. You know, maybe a New Year resolution for you in 2021 would be to take a look at the map. Take a look at what Jesus has laid out before us. Take a look at the life that he has called us to live, called you to live. And get back on track. If you're feeling lost, you feel like you're in the middle of a field, you feel like screaming and you're not sure what to do, can I urge you, get back to where Jesus called you to be and continue to live a life that is worthy of the good news that he declares to you. Imagine what a worthy life could look like every day, every choice, every moment. In your relationships, in your friendships, in your marriage, with how you bring up your kids, with how you are with your parents, with your neighbours, with your finances, with your work, whatever it is you do at work, in how you care, in how you serve. Imagine what a worthy life looks like when you centre your life around Jesus. And it's that Paul was urging the people in Colossae. And through the ages, us right now, today, 2021, here and now, to get involved and actively desire to live that sort of life. We can't sit and hope that it's going to happen. It's a day-to-day choice to walk his way. Now, I know during lockdown, many of you have started some new things, some new habits, some new passions, some new experiences as well. And some of you, you're learning a language, some of you are walking much more, some of you have taken up knitting perhaps. I don't know whether Tom has just yet, but I'm sure that's something he might do if this lockdown continues a bit more. But you know what, you've had to learn to do something new. And you know that if you're going to learn it, it takes determination. You've got to do it every day. You've got to be disciplined to do it. And it's just the same when it comes to follow Jesus. I mean, if I asked you now to go outside and to run a marathon, I'm guessing not too many of you, one would have an inclination to go outside and could actually manage to get to the end of your driveway. But for some of you out there, if you began day by day to run a little bit and then run a bit more and run a bit more, you would at some point be able to run the marathon. This isn't a question of trying harder to live like Jesus. This is a day-to-day training. Every day, every decision, one step at a time, to follow his way, to center yourself around the axis that Jesus brings to us. It's easy to lose track. It's easy to follow wrong instructions. It's easy to go our own way because most of us are stubborn. But Paul says, come on, let's do this. Let's set this as our desire, our direction to live a life worthy of him. Now, Colossae was a very small city in Asia Minor. That's the group of people in modern Turkey today. It was a prosperous part of the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. It lay a few miles from a major trade route which linked Paul's home city of Tarsus to the great city, the capital of Asia Minor, Ephesus. And Colossae was on the way. It was like the motorway service station stop off on a journey from two different places. And because of that, it was full of many different people. Greeks would be there, Jews would be there. They'd mix with merchants from all over the empire there. It was a very mixed, vibrant city. And people came to Colossae to hear lots of new things. And the church in Colossae was founded in about 56 AD, maybe not by Paul. In fact, he may never have visited the city. In Colossians 2:1, there's a sort of hint towards that. But the church grew there as a result of Paul preaching in Ephesus in the mid-50s. And the effects were, if you look at Acts chapter 19, verse 10, he went on for 2 years. You think this sermon's long. Paul went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia, including Colossae, heard the word of the Lord. Now, Paul wouldn't go to all these places on his own. He would send co-workers out and they would take the message. And it's likely that Epaphras went to Colossae and began this church on the back of Paul's preaching. It had only been established a few years when this letter from Paul arrived, because he was worried that they were beginning to lose their way, that they were taking their eyes off Jesus. But imagine if you joined this religious moment, this movement, only a few years ago, and you find yourself meeting in private homes because it's not quite legal to be on the streets. It's based on stories told by a travelling missionary whose leaders are in and out in prison and whose founder, Jesus, was executed a generation ago. It would be a pretty tough experience, wouldn't it? And no wonder they lost sight, perhaps, of the way they were walking, of what it means to live a life worthy. Now, we face exactly the same challenges. We live in a very mixed culture and society today. It's easy to grab hold of lots of different things to build our life upon. And so these words come to us just the same. We're not much different from Colossae. Multinational, multicultural, business, loads of things going on that divert our attention. So the words ring out today. Let's get back to live a life that is worthy of the Lord, that pleases him in every way. The first century Roman Empire was a very exciting place to be. Yeah, you could worship the emperor one day, Artemis the next day, and then Zeus all in the same week. Even Judaism had been watered down a bit the further it got away from Jerusalem. There were many spiritualities, many distractions. So Paul says, out of love and concern for the people in Colossae, he says, come on, let's live this life worthy of the Lord, because it's only around him that we can center our lives. There are many things that we hear that are very attractive, but it's a pale shadow of knowing about Jesus. To learn who Jesus is, to walk in his way. What does a worthy life look like? Well, we're going to unpack this over the next few weeks, but here's just a little hint of some of that. And you can read it in our passage. In chapter 1, verse 10, a worthy life bears fruit in every good work. Matches up what we say and what we do. Because a fruitless life means you've lost connection. So bear fruit in every good work. Verse 10 says, grow in the knowledge of God. Now, this isn't just about filling our head with more information. Knowledge in the Greek sense means it's in your heart. It affects your life. It affects your thinking. It affects your relationships. Grow in the knowledge of God. Bigger hearted, a sign of authentic discipleship, heart experience, contact knowledge gained from firsthand experience of Jesus. Bear fruit. Grow in the knowledge of God. Thirdly, verse 11, be strengthened with all power. You can't do this on your own. With endurance and patience. Strengthened with all power. In the Greek, it's dunamis, dunamis. It's so good they named it twice. Power, powered by power. That's the energy, the life force of the Holy Spirit at work within us. And then verse 12, give joyful thanks. Bear fruit. Grow in knowledge, be strengthened with all power, and give joyful thanks. A life worthy of the Lord. Joy, powered by God's goodness and faithfulness. Why? Well, verses 12 to 14 give us reasons for joy. He's qualified you to share the inheritance through the cross. He's rescued you from darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. To this we are called. Enough reasons to be joyful? I hope so. So let this drive you forward. Let this shape your life. Let it be at the forefront of your daily decisions. Because if you lose your why, then, as one preacher says, you're going to lose your way. Let's live a life worthy of the Lord. As you begin this new year, reset your life around Jesus to the axis of our faith. Train every day. Make decisions every day because they're driven by your love of Jesus and his love of you. You know, I read recently that a typical mobile phone user touches his or her phone over 2,500 times a day. Wow, that's amazing. That's just the average. Well, what if we could touch the life of Jesus that many times each day? What if we could allow him to touch our lives that many times every day? That would enable us to live a worthy life, fitting, suitable, centered around his purpose. Live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. I hope and pray you'll join us in this journey of looking at what that looks like, of sharing it together, of holding one another accountable, and of impacting our world in an amazing way during 2021. Why not start today? Why not start for the first time today? Why not start again to draw back to the center, the core, the call to follow Jesus? Find your way back. I pray that honestly for you today, for us today, as we keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would help us through the presence of your Spirit, because we can't do this on our own, that you would help us to draw closer to you, to reflect your likeness into every situation we find ourselves in, and that we would please you in every way. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us again with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Fill us to overflowing so that you are at the center of our lives every moment of every day. Father, thank you. I pray for everyone watching today or who's on catch up at some point, that you will renew us and that you will give us power and power to be your people in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you've got questions, Alpha is a great place to come and explore those. So please do sign up for that. But if we can help in any way, please drop us a line, inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. Anything that you've got a question about, we can help with, you'd love some prayer for, you'd love a chat, please do contact us, inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk.